Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory forever.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We know that we have entered into the fifth week when we come to this pre-sanctified service, and we have the longest, Lord, I've called in the entire year, where the church in her wisdom knows that once we get to this week, this is where the weakness and the grumbling really starts to kick in, and so we get a good dose of a bunch of traparia that all end with a desperate cry for help to God, that without Him, we will utterly perish. The very first traparia that started off, Lord, I called it this evening, has us, as we hear and are very used to hearing about the Good Samaritan, has us contemplate being the one by the side of the road on the way to Jericho. In my wretchedness, I have fallen among the thieves of my own thoughts. My mind has been despoiled, and cruelly have I been beaten. All my soul is wounded, and stripped of the virtues, I lie naked upon the highway of life. Seeing me in bitter pain and thinking that my wounds could not be healed, the priest neglected me and would not look at me. Unable to endure my soul-destroying agony, the Levite, when he saw me, passed by on the other side. But thou, O Christ my God, was pleased to come not from Samaria, but incarnate from Mary. And thy love for mankind grant me healing and pour upon me thy great mercy. It is tempting throughout Lent to, I'll say, white knuckle through Lent. That we, in attempting to reach towards God, we hold on very, very strongly to the fast and to the prayers and to almsgiving and the services. And there is absolutely nothing wrong with holding on to and being formed and shaped by the discipline of the services, prayers, fasting. It's the white knuckle part, where we tend to trade in an encounter with God and with His grace and mercy for our own particular achievements and what we have pushed ourselves or achieved. And we find ourselves, I think, especially in the fifth week, where those white knuckles are starting to just give out. Where we find ourselves stripped by the side of the road by our thoughts. And we really discover, because by about the fifth week, you might be able on your own accord and strength to not, sin in scare quotes, right? Like this kind of outer stuff where, like, I haven't done this and that and the other. Let's just not talk about what's going on inside my heart or my mind, but I haven't physically crossed boundaries or something. And we find ourselves also stripped of the virtues of what we in white knuckling have relied upon ourselves, that we in such subtle ways kind of congratulate ourselves, have the priest and the Levite, once we think that we have got it all down, we realize that we're just kind of on our own, the priest and the Levite on the other side. And the fathers of the church sound a constant warning for us, or maybe we should say an encouragement for us, because it's exactly at this point where they say, you know, the very beginning of the spiritual life is where you realize that without Christ and without the Holy Spirit, you got nothing. That you might be able to do a week or two doing everything, quote unquote, perfectly, but there's nothing especially particular, habitual things, addictions, that are never overthrown through our own effort. And the fathers are very clear about this. When our Lord says that certain things only are cast out through prayer and fasting, it's not because of the fact of prayer and fasting, it's the fact that prayer and fasting bring Christ into the midst of that side of the road. It's the fact that we realize that we need God, because on our own, we can do nothing. That anything that we do, and we say this repeatedly, this is part of the reason for the intensity of our prayers, is because very often it's very easy for us to get lost in the glory of our, I'll say, mediocre virtues, and lose complete sight of the absolute glory and majesty, beauty and holiness of Christ. This is why we find ourselves on the side of the road with our mind scattered and our virtues nothing but empty, dirty rags. And it is Christ himself, born of the Virgin, who descends to pick us up and take us into the very bosom of the church, into the heart of God himself, to apply the bandages, the love, the mercy that we find only in Christ. This is why the Triparia repeatedly say, I am despairing, I am perishing, without you, I am nothing. This is why especially the church brings before us St. Mary of Egypt. And tomorrow evening we'll serve the part of the canon of St. Andrew of Crete that we missed in the first week. And we'll also hear the life of St. Mary of Egypt, who is a great pattern for us, not in the sense that all of us are supposed to run out into the desert and spend all of our time living off of the dew and little desert plants or nothing, but that we, in our waking up to our state of sinfulness, cry out and ask for the intercessions of the Most Holy Mother of God and for Christ himself to come and sanctify us, to cleanse us, to purify us, and to have ourselves clothed with in him. That anything that besets us, that shackles us, it is not we who have the key, but it is he alone who can save us. So let us take heart, not in our perfect attendance, application of things, but in our meagerness and our brokenness. For he desires a broken and contrite heart, and is not anything more that he delights in than to see us come to him, realizing that we have tried everything else, and it is only he who can actually give us the key. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.